the Reformation in the Christian context went back to the original founders, the apostles. Now, if you apply this model to Islam, where would we go back to the original founders of Islam?
Sociologist Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West.
You'd go to Muhammad, the man who was in many ways Islam's first terrorist, who conquered the world by the sword, and who said, I'm the last of the prophets, and I'm sent with the sword. And to think that we can have reformation like we had in the Christian context is a specious argument.
You can meet and hear Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case against Islam on June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Check it out at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We are not the lords of history. Somebody else, thank God, is the lord of history. The lord of history has not abandoned him, but has actually been on his side and suffering alongside him in Vietnam.
The day of grace is today. The day of grace is every day. And the day of grace is forever.
Is this committee really prepared to go to the south side of Chicago in neighborhoods that have never seen a father? And are you really prepared to tell those people the kids don't need a mother and father?
The Tower of Babel is all about the work of Jesus preparing now to go through Abraham, David, and Judah until Mary is told by the angel that the Savior is going to be born.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's just a taste of the four soundbites we have for you. It's a very simple game we play here on Fridays on Issues Etc. You listen to the four soundbites that we'll play for you in about 20 minutes, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you voted our Facebook fan page as well, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your vote picks Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and we will be giving away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote in about 20 minutes when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Robert Spencer joins us to talk about a blasphemy trial against a Christian teacher in Egypt. Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his latest, Not Peace, But a Sword, The Great Chasm Between Christianity and Islam. Robert, welcome back.
Hey, always good to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Who is Abdel Noor, and what is her crime in Egypt?
Well, Dimyana Abdel Noor is a primary school teacher who is a Christian. And she is accused of insulting Muhammad and Islam in class when she was teaching her primary school students. And this is almost certainly a trumped-up charge that arises from the simple fact that Dimyana Abdel Noor is a Christian herself. In what we see in Egypt these days, Todd, is increasingly what we see in Pakistan, that Christians are being victimized by Islamic supremacists who take a simple affirmation of Christian faith and a rejection of the idea that Muhammad is a prophet as a blasphemous insult to Islam. And Christians are being jailed, in many cases lynched in mob violence as a result of this.
So talk about the context of this, because we've got Egypt, which is probably a relatively unique holdout in the Islamic world, where fully 10% of its population are Coptic Christians.
Yeah, and actually the Copts say it's more than that. There are varying counts. Some people estimate it's as much as 16 to 18%. In any case, it is the largest non-Muslim population in the Islamic world. And so Egypt has been unique in that way. Egypt also, of course, during the regimes of Gamal Abdel Nasser and then Anwar Sadat and then Hosni Mubarak, has been a relatively secular country that has not enforced Islamic law and where Christians have enjoyed relative equality of rights. Now, under the new Muslim Brotherhood regime, all that is changing. Islamic law is now the law of the land, and that means that Christians must be, under the rule of Islamic law, denied basic rights and must be subjected to various kinds of institutionalized and legalized discrimination. These kinds of blasphemy charges that we see against Dimyana Abdel Noor and other Christians Christians there are just one element of this, kind of an attempt to intimidate the Christian population and to show them that they have to fall into line and to submit or they're going to be victimized.
Talk about the relationship between Egyptian leader Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, Morsi is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood, of course, is the Egyptian and international organization that is dedicated to imposing Islamic law in Egypt, in other Muslim countries, and around the world, ultimately. The Muslim Brotherhood is the organization that is behind all the major Muslim groups in the United States as well. And according to a captured internal Brotherhood document that was revealed during the Holy Land Foundation Jihad Terror funding trial a few years back, the Muslim groups in the United States have the goal of eliminating, destroying Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house. That's the Muslim Brotherhood's stated goal in its own words for the North America, and the object of it all is not just to sow destruction, but to replace the Western secular republics in which we live now with Islamic states.
So talk about what blasphemy is under Sharia law and how it is. You said earlier most of these cases are most certainly trumped up, but what would pass for blasphemy in
Egypt? As a matter of fact, Islamic law explains that non-Muslims are not permitted to say something impermissible about Islam or Muhammad or Allah or the Quran. Now, what does it mean? What's not permitted? Well, one of the things that's not permitted is slander. But if you look up the definition of slander in Islamic law, it's not lying about Islam or the Quran or Muhammad. It's saying something that they do not want known. So even if it's true, if it's critical, like, for example, I am committing blasphemy in Islamic terms right now when I say that Islam has a doctrine and legal system that mandates warfare against and the subjugation of and often the brutalization of unbelievers. That is an obvious fact that's established from the Quran and from the teachings of Muhammad and from the teachings of the various schools of Islamic law. But saying it is something that Muslims do not want done, and it can get you punished in an Islamic country.
How do you respond to somebody who says, look, under Hosni Mubarak, there were occasional blasphemy cases as well in the courts in Egypt? What has changed?
Well, what's changed is it's become much more systematic, and it's become institutionalized in law. Under Mubarak, it's certainly true there were blasphemy cases, and Mubarak was not a tremendous friend of the Christians, but he still ran what was essentially at base a secular republic in which Christians had nominal equality of rights. And now all that's gone, and it is a thoroughgoing Islamic state.
Is Egypt headed the same direction as the rest of the Muslim world? That is, we look at someplace like Iraq, where the end result is at mass exodus, if not just, and those who stay will find themselves persecuted as well. But pretty much the Christian population clears out and goes someplace else.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, the same kinds of things are happening all over the Islamic world, and that is the replacement of governments and societies based on Western law with Islamic law, and that's spells trouble for the Christians. Certainly, we've seen in Iraq that since the toppling of Saddam Hussein and the various warring factions of Islamic supremacist pro-Sharia groups there, over half the Christians have left the country. But they've gone to Syria, and now Syria is about to do the same thing. Where are they going to go from Syria? Probably to Jordan. But Jordan is not immune from this either. And so the overall situation for non-Muslims, particularly Christians, in Muslim countries looks very bleak right now.
Under Egyptian law, what could happen to Abdel Noor?
Well, she could be executed. Absolutely. Blasphemy is a capital offense, and there's no hesitation in carrying out that sentence.
Does the fact that this kind of atmosphere exists, it's not now just a kind of a cultural or religious atmosphere, it is an institutional and legal atmosphere, does it discourage her from getting a proper defense for her crime or the alleged crime, or perhaps even a basically fair trial?
Yes, It certainly does, because oftentimes the attorneys and various other people representing a person accused of blasphemy are victimized themselves. I can recall, for example, over the last year, there was a very celebrated case in Iran, which, of course, enshrines Islamic law as the law of the land, just as Egypt now does as well. And the case in Iran involved a Christian pastor who was jailed. He had converted from Islam to Christianity, which is, of course, against the law. And not only was he victimized, but his lawyer was arrested and put in jail as well, essentially for the crime of representing him.
Do the Coptic Christians in Egypt have valid reason to be concerned when they hear about these blasphemy trials?
Oh, absolutely. Now, this is a very, very dangerous thing. Anybody could be victimized at any time by this kind of thing. We see this in Pakistan all the time, where there was a retarded Christian girl in her early teens, and she was cleaning a place. And a Muslim cleric who wanted to seize the property actually slipped some pages of the Quran into some trash that she was burning. Now, this was discovered. Somebody saw him. And nonetheless, the girl was arrested. She was jailed for a considerable period. But when it became clear that the cleric was the one who was involved in this, she was released and the cleric was arrested. However, he's a Muslim cleric and she's a Christian girl. And so ultimately, he was released without charge and the charges were renewed against her. And this is the kind of thing that we're going to see in Egypt over the next few years as well.
One of the ways that these allegations and charges and the trials are being defended is that, look, this is about sectarianism. One of the defenders says the law says we should punish whoever commits blasphemy, and the consequences to society would be more violence, dissatisfaction, and strife within society. What do you make of that kind of defense of these blasphemy laws?
Well, the thing is that they say that, but people who blaspheme against Christianity or Judaism are never prosecuted. It's just like the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the international Islamic group that is trying to compel the West to adopt blasphemy laws. And they say they couch them at the UN and their initiatives as laws against defamation of religions or incitement to religious hatred, that kind of thing. But the thing is, as we know, Todd, Christianity is routinely criticized in the West. You put a crucifix in a jar of urine, you don't go to jail, you don't get arrested, you get a National Endowment for the Humanities grant. And so nobody really cares about insults to Christianity. It's only denigration of Islam and incitement to hatred of Islam, so-called, that is really the goal of these laws.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, and he's authored several books on Islam, including his latest, Not Peace But a Sword, The Great Chasm Between Christianity and Islam. You'll find a link to Jihad Watch and to Robert's latest book under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Robert, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, always a pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's a simple game we play on Fridays with our listeners, but it does require your participation. We'll play the four soundbites for you, and then you give us a call and vote for which one you think ought to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or our in-studio email address. You can also vote that way. talkback@issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next.
If you're going to a solid Lutheran church that does the liturgy where the historic worship is used, if there ever was a time in the history of the West to just keep doing it, this is that time.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio show.
Because the ones in collapsing evangelicalism are going to start looking to Rome or Eastern Orthodoxy or a blown-out Episcopal church, looking for something historical rather than just experiential. And I want us to be one of the markets that they bump into.
You can meet and hear Rod Rosenblatt June 14th and 15th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org, shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.